In the summer of 2007, I was working with a church. It was about an hour northwest of New York City, Christ Church in Warwick, New York. It was a nice place to work, in part because they took me on their mission trip to Mexico that summer, and we went to Juarez, which, if you know anything about Mexican politics, is not one of the nicer parts of Mexico. We went there and we worked with a group that is actually affiliated with the Methodist Church, so this is a fairly appropriate story as we're standing in a church owned by the Methodist Church that builds lasting houses for people who live in the outskirts of Juarez, which are not one of the nicer parts of Juarez, although not the worst part of Juarez. If you've ever been to one of the slums of the world, when you don't have to travel internationally to see these places, you're familiar with the type of houses these people construct for themselves. They're built with whatever they can get their hands on. And the real problem is, especially in this part of Juarez, they catch fire easily. And when you cook over open flame all of your meals, every now and then everything you own gets destroyed. So about 20 of us went down there, about four or five adults, 12 to 15 kids, and in a week, we built two one-room houses for two families there. Our tools were very sophisticated. We had work gloves, cinder blocks, water, and cement to mix up. And then two local maestros, masters, who actually knew how we were supposed to do everything. And a huge language barrier. A few of us had taken some Spanish. I had 3 years in high school myself, but even that was a fair amount of time ago. If you've studied languages, it goes away fairly quickly if you don't use it. And by this point in time, my biblical Hebrew was doing better than my modern-day Spanish. So between the 20 of us and the couple of experts we were working with, we shared about three words in common. Mas, more. Agua, which almost anyone can get. And no, which is the same in either language. With that, and in a few days, we built two houses. And then they came in and they poured a cement floor for them. And we put roofs on. And on the last day we were there, we celebrated Eucharist with them. Now we got very specific instructions from the Methodist person who runs the group we were working with. He said, you go to the store, you go to the back of the store, and you'll find this bread, and it looks like this. That's the bread you want to get for Eucharist, because it tastes good. I'm like, I like this. This is good theology. Jesus should taste good. Wafers, by the way, don't usually taste good. The Episcopal Church has not caught up on this one. So you want to get a whole loaf for each house. So we did this. We got wine. I think we got wine. They're Methodists. They might have had us get grape juice. We whirled with it. And we got some other things as a going away gift for these families we'd worked with. Sort of watched their children play in the sand around us for a week now. And then we did our very Episcopalian Eucharist. On the top of this plastic Rubbermaid tote container. I think the priest I was working for at the time was a little off-put by this combination of, you know, his fairly high church sensibilities and the reality of where we were. We broke bread, we shared it with the people who were around us, who you had to assume only sort of understood what we were doing. They didn't have to be religious to get a house built. They didn't have to be Methodist. They certainly didn't have to be Episcopalian. They had to demonstrate a willingness to stay in the area, some stability. And then they had to put up with us for a week and hang out at the end. And they were delighted by their houses and perfectly willing to put up with our strange little ritual. And at the end, at each house, there was, of course, we started with a large loaf of bread. There was lots of bread left over. Lots and lots of bread. Remember, this is not the nice part of Juarez. These people did not have a lot of things. So these children were hungry. And the director of this program had come out with us to help translate and facilitate our last day there and make sure we understood each other's. Remember, our great command of the Spanish language we had going into this had not really improved. He took the leftover communion bread and he started distributing it to the kids, who were still, of course, hungry. And it did taste good. It was the right amount of fluffy and a little sweet, but not too sweet. You could eat that bread for a long time. They'd form a little line and then they'd keep circling back until it was all gone. And then we went to the other house. And the exact same thing happened. But that time I was ready for it, and I had the camera, and you got these great pictures that you had to be there to understand. We forget what we do at this table every week. We forget what it means. It's not this funny ritual we do, although it's often funny if you've never seen it done before and don't really know what's going on. We do a lot of weird stuff in the Episcopal Church. Eucharist is only one of them. It's the bread of life. These kids in Mexico needed somebody to come back every day with a loaf of that bread and other nutritious food. We need to come here every week and remember who we are and who we are becoming, the body of Christ. Even if wafers don't always taste that good. And then we need to go out, as I suspect these kids did. They hung around for a while hoping there was more, and there was this tub of stuff, some of which we'd bought just for the kids. But I suspect when they found their friends later, they talked about what had happened and the bread that had tasted so good and that there had been leftovers. So after we leave here, we have to go out and tell people there's more. There's room for you too. This is the best we have. This will change your life. The trick, of course, is to remember to let it be the best we have. To remember to let it change our lives so that when we tell people, they believe us. Amen.